A modeller is sticking to his views that thousands of New Zealanders could die if COVID vaccination rates fail to exceed 80% and lockdowns aren't used to combat future outbreaks. Professor Sean Hendy made the remarks at the government's COVID briefing at the Beehive yesterday, and that sparked concern that such comments might cause fear and slow rather than increase vaccinations. Sean Hendy's with us now. Kia ora. We had Rodney Jones on Morning Report an hour ago. He was talking about these numbers of yours being over-egged and that you were fear-mongering. What's your response?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and let's be clear, and I think you actually made a good summary just then, that we're talking about what would happen if we opened up at 80% vaccination rates, which would leave about a million New Zealanders unvaccinated, and if we didn't continue to use quite stringent public health measures, you know, there'd be severe health consequences for those 1 million New Zealanders. I think it is important that we discuss that. We certainly have been proposals for opening up at 80%, and so we should explore the consequences of that.
Okay, so you don't think that this is a situation where people are being terrified when they hear that?
Look, there will be no doubt some people that find those numbers uncomfortable, and you know, I do understand that, but I think, you know, I'm personally of the view that we should put these numbers out there. We should have a good discussion about them, and you know, we should understand the consequences, the costs, and the benefits of the different paths that we could take.
How credible are those numbers? How good is the model? Because I recall talking to you at the beginning of the Delta outbreak, and you were then saying the modelling suggested about 120 cases at the top end, and here we are sitting at over 1,000.
Yeah. So look, just to be clear, and there has been some confusion about this. Those initial numbers, those are the numbers at outbreak detection, so at the point that you find the outbreak, as opposed to the outbreak at the end. So those were those early numbers that we were reporting. We still are actually out by about a factor of two. You know, you don't have all the information when you make that early call. There were probably a couple of hundred cases at the outset, so we weren't bang on the mark there. But that's just to clear up that confusion. I mean, there's always uncertainty in modelling, and this modelling is no exception. You know, we're trying to use the best data from overseas, in particular the best information we have about the effectiveness of the vaccine. Now, we know quite a lot about how good the vaccine is at preventing severe deaths, severe illness, including death. So that's quite well documented. That data is collected through the clinical trials of the vaccine. We don't know yet about how good the vaccine is at preventing transmission. So if you've been vaccinated, a small number of people can still get infected despite being vaccinated, and then what is their chance of passing it on to other people? Now, that's where the information is uncertain at the moment. There should be information coming out of the UK in the next few months that will give us an indication about that. But that's a big uncertainty at the moment. And that could shift our estimates of where we think that population immunity threshold will be. So we'll be watching what happens overseas and trying to use the best data as it comes in.
Just take us inside the conversations that led to you being at that 1 o'clock briefing yesterday. You'd presumably been working on this model anyway. How was it that you ended up being part of that press conference?
Yeah, so look, we've been working on this since March this year. It's when we started building the vaccination model. We released the model in June, so there was a release at the end of June, and then we've been trying to, in the interim, we've been trying to look at scenarios where we do open up using this vaccine model and a couple of other tools that we've built. About 2 weeks ago, I prepared a briefing and shared it with ministers, talking through some of the various options, and then that has ended up resulting in me being invited on Tuesday or Wednesday to present at this press conference. I think the timing is such that we're getting towards we're seeing really good vaccination uptake rates, and so the conversation is very much shifting to what is the right amount of vaccination, you know, what options are ahead of us as we hit different thresholds.
How do you think people hear these numbers in the modelling, and what does it make them do?
So look, I think what people should be focusing on in the modelling is the level of restrictions that we'll need going forward. I mean, I think as when Delta came on the scene, I think that has forced us to reset our expectations of what we can achieve with vaccination. What we're trying to look at now and encourage the discussion of now is what kind of restrictions do we want going into next year? You know, we can't remove all restrictions. That's just going to be a fact of life with Delta, and there'll be very few countries that are in a position where restrictions can be taken away. So all countries are going to have to make choices what restrictions they keep to manage Delta in an ongoing way, and what changes they can make to their currency things. So I do think, you know, I hope that's what people are taking from the conversation, is really thinking about next year, thinking about what kind of restrictions we can live with in the long term.
Appreciate your time this morning. Sean Handy there.